day, a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit just for love of you, Jesus, God's most precious treasure, lavished on me, broken and spilled out. Lord, you were God's precious treasure, his loved and his own perfect son, sent here to show me the love for my father. Just for love it was done. Gave up yourself willingly. You spared no expense for my pardon. You were used up and wasted for me, broken and spilled out, just for love. God's most precious treasure, lavished on me, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet. Spilt out for thee. In sweet abandon, let me be spilt out and used up for thee.
All right, thank you for that great song. If we could, if you are able, why don't we stand for the reading of the scripture this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We'll start in verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 8. And we will read down through verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. I'll let you get there for the staff. That's in the New Testament. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing, knowing that ye are called, that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this morning. I pray you'd give us clarity of thought and help us to get what you have for us from your scripture this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we are with our new theme this year, making a difference. Our desire is for our church to continue to make a difference in the lives of those who we come in contact with. But of course, if that's going to happen, we want God to make a difference in our lives, and that's where it starts, and that's kind of what we're looking at as we get started this year. So I read this verse, that one little phrase there, as I've read this many times, jumps out at me in verse 10. For he that will love life. If you've been to any amount of funerals in your life, the older I get, the more I go to. One day I'll go to my last one, and I won't remember much about it. But you'll hear people say sometimes when they're talking about the person who's passed on, that they loved life. How many of you ever heard someone, I just love life? If that is true, then why are so many people unhappy? Everybody loves life. But why is it that we say that at their funeral, but so often if you look at the way their life went, it didn't seem that they loved it very much. On the other hand, you have people that are alive. We want to portray that we are living the life. That's the social media life. That's the Instagram life. That's the moments of excitement type of life. I'm just living the life. Now let me say this. Life is special. And it is a gift of God to us. And by the way, we don't know how long we have. And even if your life ends up being long, it seems like it goes by just like that. Say, it's not like that for me. The older you get, it seems the faster the clock runs. But we should make the most out of our short time on earth. There's a phrase that my wife told me when we first got married, and she says it she said it so many times, and as we get older, it's like it's truer and truer. But I guess the story is when she was a teenager, her church went to a rest home. I don't know if they were visiting the people or what they were doing, and there was somebody there had written a sign that said, I was once young by like you, but soon you will be old like me. That's an encouragement. The older I get, the more my wife says that to us, right? But life goes by like that. The older you get, really, the faster it goes. James says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. You know, people are looking for excitement in their life. They're looking to love life. And by the way, God wants us, and he mentions it here in Peter, but it's okay if we love life. Now, not love our life to the sense where we would not put it down for Jesus Christ. You know, whosoever will love his life. That Jesus said that. But I'm talking about the life that God gives us. We ought to enjoy it. Amen. We ought to get the most out of it as we are fulfilling God's will. If we are going to have a life we can look back on and say, you know what? There's been some tough times. There's been some trials. There's been some irritations. But overall, kind of life has been good. If we're going to look back and see that, we have to live life God's way. That's the key. Peter wrote this book to those who he referred to as strangers. Stranger means, not like some of you are strange, Raul, but others. Means resident aliens or sojourners. He said we're strangers. In other words, this world really isn't our home. We're just here for a short time. As Christians, our real citizenship isn't here on this earth. It is in heaven. And so we need to understand that. Because we are strangers in this world, we are considered sometimes to be strange in the eyes of the world. And by the way, the worse and worse our world gets, the stranger and stranger they think we are. Okay? We're just, but why? We've not changed. We're staying with the scripture, but the world, as it gets worse and worse and starts to accept things as normal, which God says is not normal, then there's going to be an issue. And the issue they're going to be is going to be with us. The people that Peter was addressing, they were going through trials because of their beliefs. Yet, he has an optimism here in the book because no matter how things are going on the outside, we are still the people of God. Although our real life, which is eternal, is not here, our temporal life can be blessed, even if we face criticism and misunderstanding. We can, in the right way, and not in a self-serving way, but in a righteous way, we can love the life that God has given us. We can choose the flip side, though, by the way, which is Solomon. I believe it's in chapter either 1 or 2 of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon did not live life God's way. He did everything he wanted. He got everything he wanted. And then he said, therefore, I hated life. The choice is ours. The key to loving life, and we're going to look at it here, that Peter mentions, really is two areas. It's the relationships that we have, and the life that we live. Really, that's going to determine those two areas, whether you have a life that you actually enjoy, or if you want to use the word blessed, how are your relationships, and how do you live? In these verses, we see the two keys, and we're going to look at them briefly this morning. Peter says the first key is our relationship with others, and I think particularly those who know the Lord. Others. Life is built around the relationships that we have. If you see someone and they're like, man, they're bitter in life and life doesn't seem to be going well and they just kind of have that spirit, I guarantee you they have relationships in life that are toxic. They have relationships in life that aren't right, and that's just going to add in to the whole thing. Now, God wants us to have a church. A church is an important place in a Christian's life. God wants every Christian to be a part of a good church. You say, I don't know of a good church. See me afterwards. I know one. Maybe I'm a little biased here. Why do we need a good church? Well, first of all, God told us to be part of a church, but we need spiritual encouragement. Yes, sir. If you listen to everything that's going on out in the world, you need to come to church and hear something good. You need to come to church and hear something like, listen, it's not all gloom and doom. There are some good things going on. We need good godly friends. We need people that will care about you and they have the right kind of mindset because they are saved. We need a place to just simply serve the Lord and to worship Him and say, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life. Church. But if we're going to strengthen our relationships, because relationships are so important, look at some of the things he tells us that we need to have. Look at verse 8. He tells us that if we're going to have the right relationships, there needs to be a unity of mind. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Now, what does that mean? Do we all need to be the same? No. We can all have the same mind, even though we all may have different temperaments, different personalities, and different strengths. Aren't you glad that we're different? You know, what do they say in marriage? That opposites attract. It's good that you marry someone that's your opposite. What if you married someone just like you? In trouble, nothing. Divorce for sure. Okay? I don't want my wife to be like me. And I definitely don't want to be like her. I'm glad we're different. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way, okay? I don't take that. I'm just saying our personalities they're different, and they should be. That's good. That helps us. But just because we're different, we ought to have the same mind. You know what's wrong? Our country is being ripped apart at the seams by people that want to cause disharmony. By the way, I'm not going to be mean. It really got on fire 8 years ago. Say, what does that mean? Figure it out. But it's everything the media can do just to cause trouble and cause issues. By the way, sometimes we catch that spirit. Everything's got to be negative. No, it doesn't. Listen, especially in church and in our families, we ought to have a unity. Amen. Unity. How can that be achieved? Well, it's very easy. As Christians, we all have the same Bible. We ought to all have the same beliefs. We ought to all have the same values. You know what happened? I'll tell you why a lot of marriages are bad. Because here's two people, and in our society, people hook up because of the outward appearance. You know, she looks good and all that nonsense and all, he's a hunk. Well, he'll be a hunk 20 years from now. He's going to be a hunk, but not the same kind. And so, they're beautiful. And I just feel good when I'm around them. Okay. Wonderful. And then they get married. And then they have one of those little things, a baby. And they can't even agree on how to raise that child. They have different values. They have different beliefs. Issues come up in their life, and what happens? One wants to handle it a different way. The other wants to handle it this way. And then they look at each other and say, not personality-wise, I'm talking values, okay? I already said it's good to be different in personalities. And they look at each other and say, we're not even anywhere near close to each other. We're so different. You should have figured that out before you got married. And don't give me this. I married the wrong one, okay? Here we go. I can tell you how to know if you married the right one. Look at your finger. Do you have a wedding ring? She's the right one. He's the right one. The fact of the matter is, you should have saw that ahead of time. But if you don't have those things, I encourage you to get together in the Bible and figure it out and get those things. How can we have the same mind with people, especially as we follow the Word of God? We adopt a biblical worldview. How many Christians don't have a biblical worldview? You know, it's hard to love life when you're constantly in disharmony with other people. He also says, also in verse 8, having compassion one of another. There needs to be a spirit of action. See, compassion is not just a feeling. I feel for you. Well, you want a good feeling, stick your finger in a light socket. You'll feel something. Okay? Someone's having a tough time and I feel bad for them. That's not compassion. Compassion is, I feel bad for that person. I want to do something to help them. Amen. Sometimes we see others' difficulties like, that's just what they deserve. Well, what do you deserve? According to God, we'd all deserve hell. Yes, sir. You see, Jesus could have been like that. Jesus could have walked around this world and saw mankind who did not seek him, spit in his face, willingly sinned, and just said, you deserve it. But is that what he did? No. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38, verses we know well. Let me read them to you. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw their real needs. He didn't say they're in that position because they've gone away from me. They've not sought after me. They've not asked for my help. But no, he saw that and he had compassion on them. And what did he say? Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what he said? He said, they need help. And what you guys need to do is pray for more people to go out and help other people. That's compassion. When we see people that have a need, what do? And by the way, let me just say, in a church our size, we all come in, everybody looks good, we're smiling, we're singing the songs. But you know, there's people in this room, I know you're hurting. There's people in this room, they're going through things. There's people in this room, there's something somebody could step up and help you with. How often are we just content to say, brother, I'll pray for you? And by the way, I'm not discounting prayer. You know, man, I need $20 and I'm like, brother, I'll pray for you. And you've got extra money in your pocket. By the way, if that's you, see me after the service, we can talk. You know, listen. You know, man, I'm moving on Saturday, and I don't have a lot of people to help me, and I wish someone could help me. I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray that refrigerator isn't quite so heavy. Don't pray for him. Call Brother Pineda and say, listen, get someone over there and help him. But we don't want to help people. You know, someone's having emotion. I'm just really struggling right now. Hey, why don't we get together? You want to go out and let's talk about it, and let me encourage you a little bit. That's compassion. It's coming outside of ourselves and helping others in need. You want to love life? You better help others. Selfishness never helps anything. Look what else he says in verse 8. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. There needs to be a bonding of love. Love is not just some feeling that comes and goes. Real, genuine, godly, selfless love bonds people together. It helps us to be pitiful and courteous to others. It's the motivation behind everything we do to help somebody else. Bonding of love. Now, if we're going to help people, that takes humility. That means we need to get away from ourselves, and life's not about us, and seeing everything about ourselves and saying, what can I do for them? It's caring. It's not just always about me. By the way, our society, we're so me-centered. You say, but you don't understand, I have problems too. Well, deal with your problems. I'll tell you one way that will help you to get over your problems. Help somebody else with their problem. If you look out and start helping other people with their problems, number one, your problem doesn't look so bad. And number two, maybe God will send somebody by to help you with your problem. But love, bonding us. Listen, a church, if you're a part of this church, we ought to love each other as members. You say, but there are some people that irritate me. I had to cough, sorry. I know, that's a good thing. Love them. Okay? By the way, have you ever thought about this? Maybe there's somebody that you irritate. Right? No. What bonds us together? You know what it is? Love. We talked about having unity, but we have different personalities. But love bonds you together. Amen. He also talks about being patient in our reactions. Look at verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. How do we react when someone does wrong to us? What's the word that comes to our mind? Payback, right? Get them. Oh, you do not do that to me. Oh, it's on. It is on, cowboy. Get your guns. I'll meet you on Main Street. What does the Bible say? But they did something to me. You don't need to do it back. Now, let me just throw this in. That doesn't mean you let them keep doing it. Well, I helped somebody one time and they burned me. Okay, let it go. Forgive them, but don't let them burn you again. Just let it go, though. Well, I'm gonna burn them. That's not how it works. By the way, that's not Christian. Railing for railing. That's a verbal abuse. Well, they got on me. I'm going to get on them. And by the way, sometimes we do. And it's like, that wasn't the best thing to do. But it happens. But listen, let it go. Be patient. We figured that out already. By the way, you know, Peter wrote this. Peter had figured that out, right? What did he do when they came to arrest Jesus? He cut the guy's ear off. Now, I'll just be real honest with you. I kind of get it. I kind of like, hey, they're coming after Jesus. Let me just take a swing. And what did Jesus say? Hey, Peter, that's not how we do these things like that. He put the guy's ear back on. And Peter got it. He didn't want us to do that. Be patient in your reaction. You know what we like in the Bible? An eye for an eye, a tooth for the tooth. But Jesus came to change that philosophy. And then he said, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. He said, give. If someone's mean to you sometimes, bless them. You say, why do that? You know, sometimes it changes their heart. Yep. You say, well, what if it doesn't change their heart? Then we have that verse in Proverbs we can cling on to. It's heaping coals of fire on their head. Okay? But it gets to them. Yep. The whole point is this. We want to love life. How do we do with each other? How do we get along with each other? Unfortunately, one of the worst things that's happened is the social media generation. We hop on there and we duke it out. We get irritated with somebody, and if we're not patient, we jump on right away and say something and draw people into something they have no right. They don't even need to know about. What good does it do to take your disagreements with somebody online to people that have nothing to do with it? Let me ask you a question. I don't mean to get off here for a second, but let's go ahead and do this. What good does that do? Does it help anybody? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're sowing discord. God says he hates that, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in. Okay? Let it go. The Christian thing to do if there's something with somebody is to get together about it. You say, there's always that rare individual, you'll try to fix it, and they don't want to fix it, but you've done your best. But I'll tell you what, if both of you love God, 90% of the time, you can work that out, if not 95. And if you can't work it out, you can walk away and say, I'm going to let it go, I'm going to let God handle it, I did my best. But you want to love, how are you with people? And then the second key, and we won't spend much time on it, he talks about our actions outside the church or actions in our life. He says in verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days. He starts mentioning things, three things that they need to do. Refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak guile. The first things he talks about in the way we live is the words we use. So, well, wait a minute. You know, many of the problems we have in our life, we bring on by the things that we say. So I don't believe that. Okay. Have you ever been in a, let's just be kind here today. Have you ever been in a disagreement with somebody? And in the midst of the emotions, you said something. And as soon as the words didn't even fall out of your lips and your mind says, that was not the thing to say. Okay, how many of you have ever done that? If I had four hands, they'd all be up. As soon as you say it, it's like, I not only poured gasoline on the fire, I threw more fire on it. I atom bombed that thing. We have to be very careful about it. We cause so many problems by the things we say. He says, listen, refrain his tongue. Don't say evil things. We say things about others to somebody that it has nothing to do with. Don't speak any guile. Words are powerful. By the way, at the flip side, your words can be powerful for the positive. You ever go, somebody's having a down day or there's a situation, and you can say something to diffuse the situation. Some people think their spiritual gift is to get the thing going. But how are your words today? You getting a lot of arguments? Getting a lot of verbal jabs in? You always run into your little social media and you got to dig at somebody. The words we use. Verse 11, he talks about the things we do. Let him eschew evil. Let him seek peace and ensue it. It comes down to our life. Our life is, eschew is more than hate. It's a hatred that leads us to avoid that which we hate. Do you know we ought to hate sin? We ought to hate that which God says is wrong. Now, not sinner, but we ought to hate what God says is wrong. And we ought to love that which is good. See, there's a positive and a negative. That's wrong. I'm going to eschew it. I'm going to stay away from it. And I'm going to go out and do the opposite, which is the positive. I'm going to do good. Hate evil and do good. By the way, I like what it says about Jesus, how God anointed in Acts 10:38, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. You know, the right thing is always the right thing to do. I think it was Bob Jones Sr. that said, doing right is its own reward. Now think about that. You can do right sometimes and suffer consequences because you might be in a situation where they don't want you to do right. Your boss can say, do this, this, and this, and it's a violation of your conscience. It's a violation of Scripture. You say, I'm not going to do it, and he can fire you. Well, where's the reward in that? The reward is you did right. God honors that. Always do the right thing. Be morally right. Our society is so immoral, it's not even funny. And I'm going to tell you one reason why I think our country is totally, totally out of control. Because we've started allowing garbage and sin to be normal. And it's like we're spiritually clouded. And we can't even figure out things that our founding fathers would have a heart attack if they came back today and saw what was going on. They walked into a Target and it's like, oh, you're a guy or girl, go into whatever bathroom you want. We can't figure that out. That God made man and woman. That's it. I read somewhere like Facebook or one of them has like 58 different options. What? It's not that hard. You say, well, we understand that. And it's because we're clouded because we love evil and we hate the good. We're listening to those. Listen, just, I'm getting off here, but I'll feel better about myself. We let lame actresses and actors and football players and athletes get up and tell us what they think. They have the IQ of a brick. Seriously. Just because you can throw a football and keep your mouth shut. You don't know anything about anything. Well, you know, shut up. I shouldn't have said shut up because kids are like, my parents say I can't say shut up. I know, I don't like it either. I'll use the Bible word, refrain from speaking. But they push everything that's wrong. Well, why don't we just do what God says? And then he says, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. This is a quote from Proverbs, from Psalms. And his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, we choose how close we are to God in our life. Okay, God doesn't like sin. Now, we're all sinners. I understand that. But we should not openly sin. We ought to be striving to do the right thing. Amen. When we strive to do the right thing and we occasionally mess up and we ask God for his forgiveness, we get right back on track. But when we are dedicated to doing that which is against God, don't expect him to be close to you. Well, I don't feel close to God anymore. Now, sometimes that we go through drive spells and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. But sometimes it could be because we're allowing things in our life that just aren't right. Well, so-and-so does it, and I've heard this, and this person said it's okay. And after all, everybody believes that. Not everybody believes it. What does God say? I got off on it a little bit, but we'll be all right. You want to love life today? You want to have a life that you look back at the end of your life and things weren't perfect. You weren't always perfect. I get it. You went through difficulties. You went through trials, but you say, man, I think God gave me a blessed life. I was able to serve my Lord and try to do what I could to help others. There's two areas. How's your relationships? And how's the direction of your life? Are you allowing some things that God would not be pleased with? Let's stand this morning, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute.